Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This is the word of the Lord.
Perhaps you read about it in the paper. It was kept out of the news for 3 years in deference to the family involved. But a 31-year-old Japanese woman died of overwork. She had clocked 159 and a half hours of overtime in the month before she died. She'd only had 2 days off, and so that kind of averages out to about 80 hours a week. And the cause of death was heart condition, but also overworked. I'm looking at some overworked people. There was a study by UBS, and they looked at 71 major metropolitan areas around the world, and came up with how long the work week was in each of these 71 cities. Which city do you think had the longest work week? Hong Kong. Now, there was good news. In Tokyo, only 50% of the people who filled out the survey said that they take their whole holiday, their whole vacation. In Singapore, it's 78%. But in Hong Kong, it's 100%. We work hard and we play hard. And we're weary and we're restless and we're busy. Now we're going through the Just 10 series in small group Bible studies where we're looking at the 10 commandments. And the command before us today is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that today. But speaking of working, the staff of Union Church this week has been filling out evaluation forms, self-evaluation forms. And there was an interesting twist this year because we were asked, what are you going to continue? What are you going to stop? And what are you going to start? And I have Chris's answers. Would you like me to read them to you? Oh, no. That'll get him back here quickly. No. Okay. But this idea of continuing is where I'd like to start. Now, we're in a stewardship campaign. A few weeks ago, I said that we are called to give 10% to tithe. And one of you challenged me afterwards saying, well, where in the New Testament does it say I have to tithe? That's kind of an Old Testament concept, isn't it? And now in this command before us today, the Sabbath, many of us, if we're really honest, neglect or reject the whole idea of the Sabbath. It's only mentioned once in Scripture, I think. Is this something we should continue, or is this an ancient practice from the past? I just happen to have an Old Testament authority in the audience, so I'd like to call forward Dr. Ann Stewart. She's the Associate Vice President for Communications at Princeton Seminary. She's the Deputy to the President. But more importantly, she's written a fascinating book on the Old Testament. And you're an authority on Proverbs, not Exodus, right? But give us the title of your book.
It's called Poetic Ethics in Proverbs.
Okay, so let me turn off my phone, sorry.
Is that God calling?
We're going to get back to the phone in a little bit, I think. Okay. But I know you have a passion for the Old Testament, and we tend to spend most of our time as Christians in the New Testament. Tell us what we're missing.
That's a great question. You know, especially when we're talking about the commandments, people, Christians tend to think that the Old Testament and the commandments, aren't they just old and outdated laws that have nothing to do with our life today? But it's important to remember that the commandments themselves are really not about a prescribed do this, don't do this, but the commandments are a gift of God. Commandments are actually about grace. Okay. And when we're talking about Sabbath, you know, Monty mentioned she was talking about giving and stewardship as an act of freedom. And that's exactly what the Sabbath commandment is about. It's about an act of freedom.
Now, you're an Old Testament scholar and you know Hebrew, so what does the word Sabbath mean?
Oh, good. Sabbath in Hebrew actually just means to stop.
Oh.
And it's connected to, in the Exodus passage, connected to creation. It goes all the way back to Genesis. So God is doing the work of creation each and every day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God stops.
So it's in the whole rhythm of existence built in. Okay.
Exactly. So it's really built into the whole framework of creation, this concept of stopping.
Okay. Now I have to stop here. She did a great job explaining this in the first service, but the owner of a business came up to her afterwards and said, well, the Bible says one day off. Why do we give people 2 days off? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? And I'm sure you're going to have a paper on that someday.
That's right. One of the interesting things is today, though, we get 2 days off on the weekend. Even those weekend days aren't really days off, right?
Okay.
We're so busy doing other kinds of things. So it's interesting to think about what are Christian practices today of actually stopping? How do we honor what it means to have Sabbath today?
But it's a valid thing to do. It's not just an Old Testament concept.
Absolutely. And
okay.
Jesus talks about this too. Jesus is also keeping the Sabbath. In the New Testament, Jesus proclaimed as Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath too is something about recognizing who we are as God's people. A little later in Exodus, God says to the Israelites, you ought to keep the Sabbath because it's a sign between you and me that I am your God and you are my people. So practicing the Sabbath is something that we do uniquely as Christian people to provide witness to who God is.
Okay, you brought up Matthew, and there's a passage in Matthew 12 where Jesus gets into a fight with the Pharisees because he heals and he does things, and they say he's breaking the law. And so some Christians say, well, Jesus kind of showed how the Sabbath wasn't that important. Is that a fair reading of that text?
Well, Jesus wasn't showing that the Sabbath wasn't important, right?
Okay.
But Jesus was doing acts of healing on the Sabbath. So again, he says, you know, humans weren't created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for humans.
Okay.
So the idea being both in the New Testament and the Old Testament that this day, it's called sacred, it's holy.
Oh.
Even in the commandments, the only thing that's called holy is the Sabbath, right? So as we keep it, we honor who God is and God's call and claim upon our life.
I sure wish I had a biblical scholar of her reputation to call up every week. That was absolutely fantastic. To be honest, Anto and I were a little afraid because she's from the seminary we went to. We thought she was from the home office and here to help us. But you really did help us. And it was an absolute delight. And Mary, thank you for sharing your daughter with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think she's made a pretty compelling case that the Sabbath continues. And I wanted to just read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, Dr. Stewart mentioned the only commandment talks about holy, and now we read in Genesis that God said that the Sabbath was holy. There was a wonderful rabbi in the 20th century by the name of Abraham Heschel. Heschel was born in Germany. He was kicked out of Germany in 1933. Most of his family perished during World War II. But he had a very prominent ministry in New York City. And he was known as a very close friend of Martin Luther King. He was very involved in a lot of social justice issues. But the very first book he wrote when he came to the United States was called The Sabbath. And he goes back to this Genesis passage and says something that I find mind-boggling. He says the first thing that God called holy was time. The first thing that God sanctified was time, not space. And as followers of God, we are called to the temple of time, the sanctuary. He goes on to say, and what he said in the 1950s in New York certainly applies to those of us in Hong Kong right now. He said, there's a problem with materialism. We want God to bless and make holy stuff, material, space. But God chose to say that time is sacred. Well, if we should continue, what about the next question in our evaluation, stop? And I think you heard a really good case, again, that the word Sabbath means stop. Now, here's where we get audience participation. You Cafe and You Bar, we want your answers too. There's so many of you, you probably aren't going to be brave enough to say this out loud, but we'll at least try it. Not you, but if you knew somebody who wanted to practice the Sabbath, what would that person have to stop doing? What would you or your friend have to give up? Any ideas? Work? Yep. How about my phone that was ringing during the service? Somebody said, giving up emails. Now, could some of you honestly give up emails and Facebook for a day? Or WhatsApp? Could I? True story, true confession. Last night, I was walking in Bowen Road. It was late at night. I was to think and pray about this sermon. But then I got an urgent text message. And then when I answered that, I saw that there's some other message. So I'm walking in Bowen Road. It's good I didn't fall off the cliff doing text messages. And then I said, well, you know, now that I'm here, let's check the Facebook. And so I checked the Facebook. And after that, there were some WhatsApps. And about halfway through my walk, my battery died. And I was going, oh, no. But I don't know if you were out late last night, but there was this beautiful breeze. And I'm listening to the wind rustling through the trees. And then I saw something I've only seen once in Hong Kong. I would call it a firefly or a lightning bug. In North America, we have them and they're yellow, but this was like a green, fluorescent green. And I must have watched that lightning bug for about 2 minutes, and it was just refreshing and wonderful. And then I felt the breeze, and I looked up at the trees and up the mountain. I looked down at the beautiful buildings and skyscrapers of Hong Kong, and it was just a wonderful sense. It was a spiritual moment. In many ways, I feel I had my Sabbath. But there are so many things that we would really have to give up if we were to practice that. So now turn to the person next to you and tell them what they should give up or what you should give up if you were to practice the Sabbath. Okay, don't give up too much. I'm trying to stop you. Dr. Stewart talked about the need, the freedom rather than do's and don'ts. But there are some things that we probably should stop if we were going to tithe our time. And that's another phrase from Abraham Heschel, to tithe your time. It's hard enough to tithe our money. How about to tithe our time? What does that look like? It includes rest. It includes refreshing, but also includes a reverence for God. And I commend all of you for being here the first day of the week to spend time with God in a structured form. Structured or unstructured, there are probably some things you can do to have a Sabbath, whether it's a Saturday, a Sunday, or whatever day, built into your life. That was interesting. My grandfather was a Swedish logger, and he would always say to his sons, be sure to sharpen your axe. Sharpen the saw. And some of us are pretty dull and we work very long hours, but we would actually do better if we took time off, if we stopped. Not so that we're more efficient, but just so that we can do what God made us to do, to rest. There's a wonderful passage in Hebrews, and this is the one mention of the Sabbath in the New Testament, Hebrews 4:9. There remains then the Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his or her own work, just as God did from his work. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. So if we continue the Sabbath, there's some things we stop. What are some things we should start? What are some Sabbath disciplines, some Sabbath freedoms that we can build into our life that bring rest, refreshment, and reverence to the Lord? Jesus, just before he gets into the encounter with the Pharisees in Matthew 12, says some words that I think we all need to hear. Verse 28 of chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Doesn't that sound like freedom? Don't you want that kind of rest? Jesus says, come to me and you will find rest. My yoke is easy and it will fit you just right. You were created to use time as well as space properly. How can you tithe your time this week? How can you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, build the Sabbath into the way you live, into the rhythms of your life, even as it is the rhythm of God's life? What do you need to continue? Going to church. What do you need to stop? What do you need to start to honor God by keeping the Sabbath holy?